Don't miss the 23 days of Christmas in Florida's largest poker room. High hands every half hour win over $270,000 in prizes, including TVs, Apple products, Xbox, PS4, headphones, speakers, and WSOPC $1 million guarantee vouchers. Plus, mark your calendars for the Antioch Poker Tour December 11th through the 14th, where the main event winner takes home a seat in the 2015 Antioch World Championship main event. All this December at Palm Beach Kennel Club, where the Mega Bad Beat is back.
From the WDAE Sports Animal Studios in Tampa, Florida, it's the Antioch PokerCast. And now here are two guys who think they know how to play poker, Chris Cosenza and Scott Long.
It's December 5th, 2014. You're listening to the best poker cast on the planet. I'm Chris Cosenza.
And I'm Scott Long.
I've been sick all week, so I can't promise that I won't make a detour to the Oval Office during the show at all. I've been really, really weak, and so if I pass out, it's probably not this time because of Scott's droning. It might be because I'm just exhausted, so...
Don't worry, buddy. I can carry the show without you.
I figured you could. You've done it in the past, so go ahead. I'm expecting you to.
All right. Well, I'll start with this. America. America?
America.
I like how people say that. America.
America.
America finally has its own poker awards. The American Poker Awards, which is the latest foray from the guys behind Global Poker Index. Technically one guy, but you have to save one guy, right?
Yeah, right.
Will be handed out at a lavish Beverly Hills soiree on February 27th. A panel of players, journalists, and poker insiders will decide nominees on 9 categories, with winners chosen by a panel of poker's elite. 3 other awards are performance-based within GPI's ranking system, and 1 People's Choice Award will be handed out as well. Go to AmericanPokerAwards.com for more info. So this has been going on in Europe for a while. All of our European listeners are like, dude, we've had European Poker Awards forever.
Yeah.
And now Alex from GPI went bought that and said, you know what? We need to do it in America, too. So this is going to be our first time a somewhat independent poker awards. And I say somewhat independent because it's really as about as independent as you can get. But, you know, it's not like, you know, the Bluff Awards that we won previously for the PokerCast until we started a company and then we magically fell off the nominee list.
Yeah.
These technically probably will be without with as little bias as possible.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, we couldn't do an American Poker Awards and have it have legitimacy any more than Bluff can or Poker News or anybody else. So the fact that this is an outside organization trying it and bringing together a big tent of people to figure it out, I'm actually kind of excited to see how it turns out.
Well, I mean, me too. I mean, it's not every day you can say poker and soiree in the same sentence.
Yeah, I even got that spelled correctly, too.
That's pretty impressive there, man.
Not lit up in red in our show notes, so...
You know, a lot of people were always like, who cares about awards? You know, when they're part of the, you know, like the nominees or something like that, and it's like, you know you care. You know it feels good to be recognized or something, and I think this is cool. I mean, we obviously made the game what it is, America, so... Why shouldn't we have awards? You know, the most poker in the world is played here. So why shouldn't we have something that recognizes the leaders in the industry and in the game and stuff? So very exciting. We'll see who takes down a lot of these things.
And then we'll see where the future goes with it, too. I mean, the big thing that Alex Dreyfus is trying to do with all these projects he's trying to do is his phrase is sportify poker. Mm-hmm. You know, and I don't want to get into that whole is poker a sport or a game thing, but... he's taking lessons from the sporting world and trying to apply them to the poker world to branch out and make poker even more mainstream than it already is. So the fact that you get an awards and then, you know, you get a lot of grief from people like, American Poker Awards, how can they not be in Las Vegas?
Oh, yeah.
And what he said is, you know, hey, all the major award shows are in Los Angeles. And I think this is the same weekend as the Oscars. I could be wrong. Or within the same week or so.
Right.
At the Beverly Hills is like, you know, it just seems natural to have an award show in Beverly Hills. And if you're trying to get the game into the mainstream, you really actually have to get it out of Las Vegas.
Not only that, but you know what? There is more poker in California than there is in Vegas.
Well, that's very true. Absolutely.
You know, yeah. I mean, you know, Vegas likes to claim gambling and all that. But still, poker is huge in California. And Los Angeles is like the hot spot of that hot spot. So... I don't blame him at all for putting it there. And like you said, that's it, man. Hollywood, L.A., that's the thing, man. That's So good for him. Let's see where it goes from here.
Absolutely, and folks can probably. I don't think the general public can nominate for anything other than People's Choice, but you can certainly go to the website and see the categories. And I assume at some point they'll announce who the nominating panel is, and then you can obviously let those folks know who you would like to see win some of these contests. But in the meantime, I like when our listeners send us in little funny stories, and they don't really fit well in the show anywhere, so you can put it at the top of the show here to kind of liven up the show a little bit. American Folk Award is very important, but not very funny, right? So,
right.
So our listener David Mount sent this in, and what I like about it is it goes to the whole paying attention at the table, and then it also goes to paying attention to the email when you respond. Yeah, because I got a funny story about this.
Okay.
Well, but let me read this. So he says, craziest hand ever with 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 exclamation points.
Nice.
Super crazy hand, right? He says, diehard listener, first-time emailer. I was sitting in a 2-5 Hold'em game at Borgata 2 weeks ago. We nicknamed one player Kevlar, because this guy was bulletproof. He hit every draw, even against the worst pot odds, and had about $2,700 in front of him. He was under the gun in the 2-seat, raised to 40 bucks. The action folds around, and he flips over the ace 3 of diamonds. The big blind in the 1-seat clamored that he did not act yet. The dealer says he still can call if he wants. Big blind calls to 40 bucks, and the flop is 9 of diamonds, 8 of hearts, 5 of hearts. Big blind checks, Kevlar bets 100, and the big blind calls. The turn is a 10 of diamonds, seat 1 checks, and Kevlar goes all in. Seat 1 with 400 behind, snap calls with queen of hearts, jack of diamonds for the nut straight. The river's a deuce of diamonds, and Kevlar rivers the nut flush and felt seat 1.
Oh, man.
This hand was absolutely insane considering seat 2's cards were known from the start. But seat one, and he still got felted. We all sat back in disbelief as to what happened. I don't blame seat one for how the hand played out, but sometimes it's better to be lucky than good, right? Love the show, and keep up the good work.
Well, that's crazy. It is crazy hand. I mean, I think it was misplayed, though. I think it was misplayed.
Oh, absolutely, right?
Okay, yeah, all right, yeah. Good. So what was your email?
Well, for some reason, when I responded, I'm like, because usually I do this, because, you know, people send us a lot of emails, and I read them, when you're in the flurry and the excitement of emailing Annie up, you sometimes leave out details, or you get details wrong, and then the whole thing doesn't sound right, right?
Right.
So I misread this, and I thought that there were 2 diamonds on the flop, not 1.
Oh.
And therefore, when the guy called with nut straight on the turn, he was drawing dead. Which would have been an even better story. I hate to, knock the knees out of his story, but that would have been a better story, right? But as it is, the story was pretty good. But so I had a little trouble reading it there. But I think you kind of want this Kevlar guy at your table, right?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you know, I don't know what the circumstances were for the other hands that he, you know, was bulletproof on, so it's hard to say I want him at my table or not. But, you know, he turned over the ace 3 of diamonds and he decided to play the hand, and I think on the turn, though, if you're going to get into this hand, you got to show some strength that you've got ace 3 beaten a lot earlier than letting him catch up on the turn. That's the problem.
That's actually a very good point, because here's the thing on that flop, right? There's no way that guy's going to call, right?
Right. I mean, especially if
you made a bet, yeah.
Yeah, if you make any kind of bet there, what's he going to do with ace 3 of diamonds? Is he going to shove on you and hope for a runner diamond? There's no way. So if you're willing to give up 400 bucks, you know, anyway, you might as well bet it earlier and get this guy out.
Yeah, because here's the thing. This Kevlar, Mr. Kevlar dude here, bet 100 on the flop with nothing, right?
Right.
Ace high. Yeah, really no draw at that point. So at that point, you're right. If you're going to get committed to this hand, just make a big bet there. He can't call any size raise there, can he?
No. Unless he's just going to continue with the bulletproof theme and just keep trying to win. But really, what can he call you with? You know, ace 3 of diamonds is nothing there at that point. I mean, he can with the hopes of runner. There's no way.
Yeah.
Or so, maybe hitting the ace.
So I guess the guy that whose cards weren't revealed thought that this guy was just going to keep firing at him, and I guess he was hoping to hit that, his straight.
Or the 2 or the over, since it would beat the ace.
Yeah, I guess, and then get him in a gotcha moment, but, you know, That's crazy.
Yeah, I would have totally shoved. If I'm going to play this hand, I'm either going to shove preflop and say, I got your ace-3 beat now, that's why I'm doing it, and take that money. Not shove, but I'm going to re-raise him.
Right, right.
You know, because I know I've got your ace-3 beat in my mind. Or I'm going to at least take the flop and then bet out. Because what can he possibly do? It just seemed kind of weird.
Yeah.
You know? But once you do it on the turn, now you're screwed because you know he's got a nut flush draw. He's not going to go anywhere for 300 more. So
yeah, and it's almost an odd bet for Kevlar to even bet on the flop there, right?
Yeah.
You know, obviously that flop didn't hit him, so check, and maybe the other guy checks behind, and then he gets picks up a diamond, then he maybe can play, but...
That is hilarious, that bet, though. That bet out's pretty hilarious.
It is, isn't it? It's almost like, hey, my crappy ace high has got you, whatever you have beat.
That's crazy.
Which, if it did, I mean, I guess technically it did, right?
Yeah, it did. It did.
I mean, really, he was looking for a gut shot or to pair up the overs, so... I don't know. Very interesting hand, but
I mean, it is pretty wild to think about the way that came down. And that the fact that he bets out, he just knows that you called him with nothing... Or nothing that would beat the ace three preflop, because you would have re-raised preflop if you could beat the ace three.
That's a very good point as well.
Yeah, right? So this guy has just got balls the size of Indiana. That's awesome.
It's kind of a smaller state, but
when they're balls though, it's pretty big.
Man, that would be impressive.
Hey, I tell you what, if your balls are bigger than Indiana, you got some problems.
Well, someone who doesn't have problems is Michael Wongkar of Roseville, California. He was a champion of the ANTIUP NorCal Classic ANTIUP Poker Tour Series at Thunder Valley Casino Resort last week after a five-way deal. And the main event attracted 638 entries. We keep packing them in there at Thunder Valley. Really appreciate folks coming out and playing there. And it capped off a seven-event series. Next stop for the AUPT is Palm Beach Kennel Club down here in Florida, December 11th through the 14th. That's next week. Chris will be there Friday and Saturday. A rare appearance in the wild from Chris Cosenza. Hopefully you don't see your shadow, because we don't want six more weeks of winter.
Six more weeks of Chris Hyden in the Oval Office.
So definitely swing by, say hi to him, and don't forget, you're playing to appear on the cover of the February issue of ANTIUP down there in that, I believe it's a $500 main event. More details are at antiuppokertour.com.
Very cool. Well, we got some other updates, too. Don't forget, Livermore Casino, Jackson Rancheria Casino Resort, and Lucky Chances, all in California, are the latest poker rooms to join our January 19th Restock the Shelves Food Bank Initiative. We need volunteers for Team ANTIUP, so many of these events. So, plus, we need volunteers to help set up the events anywhere poker is played. For more info, go to ANTIUPmagazine.com/restock. Starting to build some momentum.
Yeah, it's really cool. I'm getting like, you know, an email or two from poker rooms every day saying, hey, you know, we're either on board or we're making sure we get approval. And there's probably at least six rooms that I know have told me that they're going to participate. They're just waiting to get their details figured out. And then the really cool thing, too, is, you know, we've been begging for volunteers. We're begging, please. And two people emailed me yesterday saying, hey, I heard you're looking for volunteers. What does that involve? I live right next to one of the casinos that's doing it. Bam!
Sweet.
We're picking up volunteers from folks that just want to help out and see how great this event is. So hopefully all those of you listening out there will feel the need to volunteer. We're not asking you to do much or nothing else. At least show up and play in one of these rooms or more of these rooms, actually, to be honest. We're just killing it in Northern California. All these three that you just mentioned were all in Northern California. We already had three or four other ones up there. And... one of the Team Blue Shark members that's helping us with this event, he's actually thinking about playing the 11 a.m. at one casino and then going to the 7 p.m. event at another casino nearby because it's so close. So
nice. That reminds me of when Phil Collins played, what was that, Live Aid?
Got on the Concorde.
Yeah, got on the Concorde and came over to New York from London to do it. That's awesome. So very cool. That'd
Except
be great.
It's like a 30-minute drive between the two casinos. But
if you're in a car and you're driving 30 minutes, the same thing as being in the Concorde and flying.
Particularly in the San Francisco Bay Area.
That's right. You get some traffic, you know. All right. Each week we spotlight a listener who called our hotline at 206-338-6344 or email us at podcast@antiuppmagazine.com. And if they haven't won something from us in the past year, just like we do with Call the Four and Hand of the Week, we'll send them something cool. This week's sponsor is Smapsoft, creator of the Chinese 13-card poker app for Apple products. Download the app today by visiting the iTunes store. This comes from Dave in the UK. He So I've been thoroughly enjoying the podcast over the past 5 years, and what I enjoy about NEEP is both your enthusiasm for poker shines through on air. You think we both have enthusiasm for poker, Scott?
I know I do. It depends.
I don't think this is on the air, though. This is through the fiber optics now. I don't know.
You're calling out a technicality on Dave from the UK, which, by the way, Dave from the UK, that sounds like it could be a song, right?
Absolutely. Just you shouldn't be singing it, though. He says, I particularly enjoyed your recent Omaha hand discussion. A few years ago when playing Omaha Online, I termed the phrase, what would you be happy with? For me, this is such a true statement in Omaha. You wouldn't believe observing the Zoom games recently. Even the higher stakes, how many players go broke with non-nut draws is frightening. Do you have any experience with playing Omaha Rush or Zoom? I feel that Rush poker was made for Omaha because you can fold all non-nut draw cards without being perceived as tight.
Well, I've never wanted to play Zoom more than I do right now. I mean, you're right. I mean, I'm in the middle of this email, and I'm like, oh, my God, I didn't even think about Omaha, and this is perfect for it. And then, of course, he goes on and says, hey, Scott, Omaha's perfect for this, right?
Yeah.
And it is, because, you know, again, Omaha, particularly if you're playing Omaha 8, you know, your hand is so well-defined after the flop, right?
Yeah.
And that's what great with Zoom is, like, all right, boom, I'm done. I mean, there's not a lot of opportunities in Hold'em where you look at that board and just say, hey, I'm folding to any bet. Or, but Omaha, there's times where I'm like, there's literally no way for me to win this hand.
Right, right, right.
And that's what's great about the Zoom or the Rush is then you can just insta fold and we whisk to a new table and start over. And really, it's almost frightening to hear that people are shoving with non-nut draws in a game where if you fold, it's not even like you have to wait for the hand to finish. You're instantly in another hand.
Right.
Why would anybody do that? And the fact that people are doing that, Dave, I wish I could play it. I wish we lived in the country and let us, you know, milk that cow. But I totally, if I was you, I'd quit your job and just sit there and milk that all day.
Don't be telling people to quit their job, okay?
Well, maybe he's already quit his job.
So I don't want to be held responsible for people in the soup lines. All right, find yourself.
Well, you know, but I always thought the. I'm sorry.
I didn't know if you were going somewhere else with that.
Well, the other is that I've always. I really wish we would have had a chance to play the Russian Zoom before we got kicked out here. Because I think there's a lot of strategy involved in how you do it. I mean, I would think in Hold'em, too, I might just play pocket pairs.
Oh, well,
hope to plot a set and then not fold. Boom, gone. Right.
I Zoom Hold'em. I had some experience with Zoom Hold'em, and I felt like if the field is small in that Zoom, like if it's one of those slower times, that you tend to get to know what these players are playing like.
Okay.
And so after a while, you're like, all right, this guy's only playing pocket pairs, hoping to flop a set or whatever it is. So
I didn't think about that. That makes sense.
Omaha would probably be the same thing. I would imagine the field to be much smaller for Omaha Zoom. So I think you start to get the hang of these guys are only playing nut hands. But whatever. I don't know.
I guess you'd be hitting a little bit more in Omaha because I mean, it is a specialized thing. If I'm just playing pocket pairs, you can pick up on that. In Omaha, I would be playing my normal game. I just wouldn't be bluffing.
Right.
As much as I normally would.
Right.
It doesn't seem like to be any need to it, right?
But, right.
That's a little tougher to pick up on.
I've never actually seen Omaha Zoom or Rush. I was playing the Zoom stuff for a while for fun, play money, just to experience it. But it was always Hold'em. I never played Omaha. So that would be pretty wild to just... I don't know, though. I think after a while... Didn't we have this conversation before about getting bored, though, after a while, of just sitting there and folding all the time, that you'd want to start to play hands, and that's how you get sucked in? And
yeah, I guess it depends on your frame of mind, you know, going into it trying to be... I mean, again, I know back when this first came out, we were talking about that. I mean, this is not a improve your poker game version of poker.
Yeah, no, right?
Yeah, I mean, you're not going to pick up on any lessons there. Yes, exactly. This is a bag 'em and tag 'em kind of poker. So, yeah, I guess at that point, I mean... Because I think if we're all honest, most of us, at least, are recreational players like we are. We play the game of poker because we like playing poker, right? We certainly want to win money, don't get me wrong, but it is an enjoyable thing. It's not like, you know, a job where you go and punch in and then punch out 8 hours later and take your money and go somewhere else and do something fun, right?
Right.
So, to that point, I guess... This would be like kind of like the George Clooney doing the big blockbuster to pay the bills, and then doing three or four independent movies that he enjoys. That would probably it. You play the Zoom to pay the bills, and then you go, you know, play real poker to enjoy it.
Must be rough.
Yeah.
How you find yourself in a situation at your favorite poker room or home game, and you're not sure what the proper ruling should have been, email us at podcast@antiettemagazine.com, and we'll have Gold Nugget Las Vegas poker director Sam Minatello tell he would have ruled. Comes from our good friend Dave Bloomberg. Says, I was playing in a private tournament, and on the turn, two players get it all in. One player obnoxiously threw his cards face up, and one of the cards flipped off the table and onto the floor. He picked it up and put it back on the table face up, and the dealer proceeded to put out the river. The player ended up losing, but it brought up a question that I asked the dealer about. Should his hand have been killed?
Sam says, once there is an all-in and a call, neither player can muck their hands or have any portion of their hand killed. That is why players are asked to show their cards in the scenario. The best hand will win the pot even if a card happens to go off the table.
I wonder if someday we're going to get someone emailing us and asking, hey, we had two all-ins, and a guy took his cards and shuffled them into the muck real quick, and there's no way for us to ever know what his two cards were. But, you know, he was clearly being either a jerk or colluding with somebody who he didn't want to lose to or didn't want to win to.
What a Deutsche Bank.
Right. What would you do then? That's the question. I mean,
well, are you talking tournament or cash game?
Both.
A tournament, yeah, that's a penalty, I would think.
Yeah, but you're out. You're out of the tournament, right? I mean, what do you do?
Well, the guy that mucked his cards and into the...
All-ins. We're talking about the all-ins.
Okay, all right. If he was the short stack all-in.
Yeah. I'm all-in, but you don't have my cards, so I'm surviving another hand.
I think that might be just one of those things you chalk it up as an unfortunate example. And if it's a casino, that guy, even though he's out, he could be warned that he's not welcome to come back, or if he comes back, he needs to behave, or whatever.
Right. Here's what I say. I mean, like, let's say, here's the reason. Let's say the guy doesn't know the rules, and it's you and me in hand, and you turn over ace-ace, and I've got king-three. And I'm like, I can't win this hand. So I take my cards, and I chuck them into the muck and mix up the muck real quick, and the dealer can't stop me. Right, because I'm sitting in the 10-zine or something.
Sounds like a show title. I mean, a movie song.
Are you going to sing some more? So really, then they're like, all right, now the only hand that's alive is the ace-ace. So the ace-ace automatically wins. Sorry, but you did that. You brought this on yourself, I guess, would be the answer. But it's going to happen. Someday someone's going to do that, and someone's going to see it, and they're going to write into us. You wait. Guaranteed.
That's probably going to happen this week now.
All right, we get to complete O'Malley's mood today. We'll refresh our memories with part one.
Hello, and welcome to another O'Malley's Move. I'm Malcolm O'Malley. This week we're playing a two-table sit-and-go. We started with 19 players and are currently down to 11. There are 6 players on the other table and only 5 at our table. Blinds are 200-400, which puts us at level 5. We have 8K in chips after starting with 4,500. The under-the-gun limps, MP folds, and we have the button and the ace of spades... 8 of spades. We decide to limp along. A lot of the players are new to the game, and I'm pretty sure we can beat them post-flop. This is not a good spot to raise in. If they limp, no amount is getting them out, so thinning the herd is out of the question. Small blind folds, big blind checks. 1,400 in the pot, and the flop is the king of spades, 8 of diamonds, jack of spades. This is a decent flop. We have a flush draw and middle pair. It goes check, check, so we bet 800. Interestingly enough, both players call, and both have us covered. The turn is the queen of spades. Awesome. We hit our flush. Once again, it gets checked to us. There's 3K in the pot, and we're going to string these guys along. We bet 1,500. The big blind calls, but the under-the-gun min-raises to 3K. He has a little bit of experience, just enough to get him into trouble. All right, we've got to contain the happy feet here. We're going to do a bit of Hollywooding. We act like we're thinking real hard and decide to throw in looking at our cards to really sell it. We look down at the ace of spades, 8 of clubs? What? We don't have the nut flush. We have a pair of eights and a flush draw. So, it's decision time. Do we call or fold? Or can we raise here? What's the move?
No way I can fold here. too much in the pot. Our hand is live, unless we're up against ten of spades, nine of spades. We obviously made an unfortunate mistake in misreading our hand. It happens. But since we come this far, I think the proper move is to shove. It's unlikely that I'll get a weaker player with a weak flush to fold, but it might. And if we do get called, we're live, as I mentioned. So if we simply call, it's hard to imagine getting paid off if we hit that fourth spade. So I think we're losing value, both in terms of chips and fold equity. So I'm assuming at best, four players will cash in this tournament. So we're going to have to get lucky at some point, right? So I'm going to try to turn this lemon into lemonade.
Well, I tell you what, if this is something like PLO, it's much easier to sell that you have the nut ace. But, you know, if there's a flush out there already, they're not folding. Right. But I agree with you. I'm probably shoving too, but we aren't winning without that river spade.
So. No, of course not. Yeah, and that's what I mentioned. If we got if you're up against a smaller flush, they're not going to.
Right.
It's very hard to think that they're going to fold. But at this point, you know, this is where we've screwed up so much, it's unfortunate we misread our hand. But you know, we've got ourselves so committed now that now we got to figure out what the best play is. And unfortunately, the best play might be jumping off the cliff and hoping. You land in a pool. And that's what it is. Just it is. I mean, I'm not expecting to survive the fall unless I get lucky. But at this point, that's going to be the best thing.
All right, well, I can't wait to see what happens. Here we go.
Hello again. We're not pushing these guys off. So ultimately, raising is out of the question. And while our hand isn't super strong, it does have a lot of potential. We decide to make the call. The big blind wakes up and shoves. The under the gun calls. We've already committed almost half of our stack to this hand. We made a stupid mistake, but we can still hit a flush, trips, a straight, or two pair that will probably be good. So we make the call. The river is the king of hearts. The big blind shows the queen of clubs, nine of diamonds, and the under the gun shows queen eight. I'm an idiot. They chop the pot and we're out in 11th place. Until next time, I'm Malcolm O'Malley saying, know your hand, and don't forget the fundamentals. Even someone who has been playing as long as I have is bound to make silly mistakes now and then. I hope to see you on the felt.
Did the big blind misread his hand as well? I mean, we thought we were playing light. This guy was an ultra-thin, man. Playing it my way wouldn't have changed anything for us, obviously, because the other guy would have called. But since we got it in anyway, why not shove before then? I guess that's the point, right? We're going to be happy calling.
Yeah. Should have shoved earlier.
I mean, again, it wouldn't have changed anything here. It was interesting. I would like to think that it would have got the middle guy out, right?
Yeah.
The crazy guy that's betting with weak queen, right?
Right.
So it actually probably would have made money for the other player because he wouldn't have got that unfortunate chop at the end. Wouldn't change anything for us, but anyhow, the card. I mean, our results based here, but I'm like, you know, I think it's a good axiom in poker. If you're willing to call off your chips, be the aggressor, and you have more opportunity to win the hand. Then,
yeah, I mean, sometimes you have to wonder too. You know, do you keep throwing bad money after bad money? You know what I mean? Like, if these guys you know what I mean? You know. Now you still have an out though. That's the thing. So you're really only semi bluffing by shoving.
Well, it goes back to what I was saying too. I mean, if this is a cash game or something, that'd be different, or a tournament that we were early on. But I mean, it was what 19 people in this thing, right?
Right.
Again, probably like I said, at most four again are cashing here. We get 11 left right now. So I mean, you're going to have to win a big pot at some point. And it's unfortunate we played this hand this way and got into the situation, but. At this point, that this is the big pot that we're going to have to hope to hit. And
didn't happen.
I mean, didn't happen. Right, exactly. But, I mean, that's just the way it is. It's unfortunate that it worked out that way, but I promise you O'Malley's going to be a little bit better looking at his cards going forward.
Yeah, yeah.
And the funny thing about when I was listening to this is that, you know, I watch whenever I play a tournament, there's always some guy, you know, in the middle of the hand that... faces a big bet. I was watching this at the Pensacola AUPT is where I was thinking about it. You know, there's a bet, re-raise, and then the guy looks back down at his hand. And it always chuckle, right? I'm like, this isn't like you just called and you might have forgotten what you had. You obviously know what you have if you were betting, raising, or re-raising, or whatever. You know, the hand, you're committed to this hand now. So by looking at those cards, what is that? Is it just Hollywooding? Is it just a relaxation reaction? I don't know. But maybe it really is. People looking down, oh my gosh, I hope I have what I really have.
Yeah, you never know.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, there. I don't really recall ever misreading my hand. Or if I have, I don't really remember it happening. But I do recall misremembering my hand. Like the hand before
is
the hand I'm remembering or something when I'm getting into it because it's taken a long time to get to me or something. And I've done that before where I look down, I'm like, what? I thought I had, oh man, it was totally different cards. But it's when those guys just look back at their cards again, you have to wonder what's going on. It's probably just a nervous tick.
Yeah, But, you know, I have misread my hand like that before too. And the other thing too, what I do is, and I'll give everyone a tell on me because I always worry about I do this because I have very bad immediate short-term memory.
Oh yeah.
So you know, for example, if like I'm one screen on my computer and I'm reading a telephone number and I switch to the other screen because I'm typing it for, you know, sake of the argument, I can't copy and paste for whatever reason. I can't do that. I can do three numbers at a time and have to switch back over. Jeez. And sometimes I even forget those three numbers when I'm doing it. So so when I play poker, I'll look down at my cards and I will tell myself what I have. Right?
Right.
Like ace of spades, eight of clubs here, right?
Right.
And then, so there I'll be constantly reminding myself of that while the flop comes out. And so it's possible that I might be mouthing that. I'm always worried about that. So next time folks play with me, watch and see whether I'm mousing my cards. And that's the biggest tip you're going to get from me. But so when I do that, though, I mean, I think it's easy to, at that point, again, forget what I'm paying and talk myself in the fact that I have ace of spades, eight of spades, as O'Malley thought here, too. So,
well, you know, the other thing, too, is now that everyone's going to start taking lip reading courses, now you're going to be able to use that as a reverse tell, and you're going to be like king of diamonds when you really have ace, you know, ace of diamonds, or so, you know, a reverse lip reading tell. I'm gonna get Joe Navarro on that one right away.
Yeah, that's a whole new book for him there, man. I just paid for his next vacation.
That's right.
This is Joe Navarro, and you're listening to the best poker cast in all the universe, Ante Up, the absolute best on poker.
It's time for Hand of the Week. Send your hands or situations to podcast at antiupmagazine.com. And please, please send your hands. We are almost out of Hands of the Week. It's funny, we've got enough listener spotlights to last for another 4 or 5 months right now. Same with Call of the Floor. So those are very popular. For some reason, people just aren't playing poker anymore. Or if they're not playing poker, they're not sending us Hands of the Week. So please help us out with that. And that way you won't keep hearing from the same people, like good friend Dr. Frank Toscano, who hasn't been on the show for 7 minutes. all right, so he says he's playing 1-2 No Limit Hold'em at a local card room. He says, just happens to be dealing J-Design playing cards, the official playing cards of Ante Up. Awesome!
Nice.
That was his word, but it's by his word as well, too. He says, I've been playing for a couple hours, and I have a tight image. Of course you do, Dr. Frank. We play with you all the time.
That's right.
I have squiggly 200 in my stack, and I'm on the button. An older lady in middle position with a stack of squiggly 155 raises to $5. She's also been fairly tight and hasn't shown down many hands. I think she's pretty solid. Folds around to me on the button with jack of diamonds, nine of diamonds. What do we do?
I don't know.
That's going to make the hand of the week very...
Yeah, give me another hand of the week, will you? To be honest, I don't know, because...
Please be honest always. Don't lie to me.
Yeah, I have to be honest here. I don't even know if I'm playing this hand. One, she's pretty tight, and she's making it $5 when it's a 1-2 game. She's making it 2.5, which, you know, it's a cash game in a local poker room. That's a pretty minuscule tight raise for... And if she's a tight player, I'm kind of scared already. So... It's like she wants you to call. Now, you can hope for a nice flop, and you have position on her, so that'd be cool. But sometimes I might just let that go, to be honest with you. I'm just being honest.
No, I think this is one of those classic just have a plan for the hand before you move on.
Yeah.
So I can easily fold this, saying, hey, this woman's solid. This is not a great holding for me. I'm going to save my $5 and wait for a better spot, right?
Right.
I could also call here knowing that she's a pretty tight player, and I'm going to have to hit this flop pretty hard to put another dollar in after that. But if I do hit this flop, she's probably going to overcommit, and I'm going to get her stack or win the pot from her. So, again, that would be my case. If you're going to be disciplined with this hand, to know that you are way behind, more than you normally would be with Jack 9 here, and disciplined enough to get away from it, take the shot to $5.
Yeah, you might get
but
a
if you're not,
behind
then
you too,
don't do it.
Right?
Yeah, exactly. Absolutely.
And then it'll help your pot odds with your sorter connectors, and you're in position for that. So, if I'm being perfectly honest, I would play this game because I'm just a loose player with 1-2 no limit. I just am. And if I have the button, I might as well see a flop. If I can get a flop like Jack 4 and she has aces, you know, I might get her to commit her whole stack to me. So I would probably play it. It's just I don't like getting involved. When I'm already told right away that she's tight, she's solid, and, you know, she's making it just $5, I'm already suspicious, though. So
yeah. I think this is an interesting hand, too, where it would be different if it's a tournament versus a cash game.
Yeah.
In a cash game, you know, I'm playing for stacks because that's how you make your money, right? So I'd be willing to take a flyer here, knowing, again, yeah, I'm profiling here based off of the information we have. But, you know, if we get two diamonds here, it's likely that she's not going to go away and she's going to overcommit, and that's where we get her stack. In a tournament, taking that chance for that 500, 1,000, 1,500, whatever it is at this point for that raises, it's not worth the risk at that point because, you know, we can't rebuy.
But, yeah.
So, the fact that it's a cash game, I'm going to take a chance here. I'll call the $5, see what happens.
Yeah.
But I'm going to be disciplined.
Yep.
I'm going to guess that Frankie here is not going to be disciplined, right?
Wouldn't be hand of the week, no.
All right. Frankie says, I decided to call. Jack 9 suited is a speculative hand, but I wanted to go fishing since I'm in position playing fairly deep against her with an effective stack of 75 big blinds. I doubt I could get her off her hand with a raise, and I don't want to get re-raised off this hand. I'd like to see a flop and use my position to my advantage. The flop doesn't fit my hand. I'm going to fold. Excellent.
Yeah, I mean, I ventured a little bit in my head thinking about a raise, and I thought, no, that's exactly right, because if she is tight and she comes over the top, now you've just wasted money for no reason.
Right.
Why not just enjoy the position and get a cheap flop and try to get
exactly.
a good flop? So
yeah I think raise is really ill-advised here.
No, I wouldn't do it either.
All right, the small blind also calls. He's a solid player, but distracted because he's playing a game on his phone and not involved in a hand.
Hmm.
Hopefully it's not the Chinese 13-card poker out from Smassoff. he has squiggly 100.
Okay.
Flop comes queen of diamonds, jack of clubs, 10 of diamonds. Small blind bets $10, and the initial raiser raises 25. And he says, by the way, in case it makes any difference in your thinking, this room usually offers a juicy high hand promotion every half hour, except from 6 to 8 p.m. It's now 7 p.m., so the standard promo for a straight flush is only about $80.
Wow, opening a straight flush draw and a pair. Wow. It's interesting that we have a third player involved in this.
Mm-hmm.
And he's bet out and then been raised. So, not that I think it would put our cards face up by just calling, but because you could have any draw. You could have the straight draw.
Exactly.
Her raise could mean ace-king, and she's already got Broadway, and she's protecting. That could mean she has an over pair. Wow.
Or set.
Yeah,
like
what would I do?
Set jacks, set tens.
I think I would probably just call, since it's still not terribly too much, and really I would consider getting it all in with somebody here anyway, so the $100 guy that's behind me isn't going to bother me,
right?
And I got the other woman covered by $45, so I would probably call and see if this other guy is willing to call 15 more and then see if we hit our flush or our straight. Now the straight is not a huge straight because, like I said, you could be drawn dead to ace king, but you have
right.
the diamonds to back you up. The only thing you're screwed, really, it seems like, is ace-king of diamonds. And even that, you still have an out of eight of diamonds. So I think I might just call. Make sense?
Hmm. Yeah. Well, we also have this pair, too, here. So we got all kinds of stuff working here.
Yeah, pair, too. So she doesn't
but,
have a
I guess this is what I'm thinking, is that if there's the donk bet here, right? And then the initial raiser re-raised. So if we raise here, it's all going to get in here right now.
Yeah,
and probably. As you mentioned, and I totally agree, I don't think I'd get away from this hand if that happens. But I'm not sure I'm ready to poke that bear yet. You know, we put the 25 in, and we'll get more information on the next card. Because we got two players that are happy with our hand, or a third player happy with our hand.
Yeah, I mean, if we were to just call the 25, then the $10 raiser shoves for the remaining, whatever he has, 90 or whatever it is. And then he has, you know, she shoves as well, too. Of course, I'm getting it in. But if she, that's the other thing, too, is you could be trailing the ace, king of diamonds. But, like I said, you have one out. I don't know if you want to put all your money on one out, but you can't really put somebody in that specific hand.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't think I'm going anywhere. But if she just calls, then it's an interesting question. If he's shoved and she calls, then it's like, do you just call again? Or do you now shove because you've already committed 100 of your 200 stack and you've got this huge draw? You probably just reshove and see if you can get her to fold, which she won't anyway. I don't think she would just call anyway with 155 to start the hand. So,
and I got to say, I'm going to dismiss the ace, king of diamonds being out right now. Unless it's a small blind, but even that seems weird. Small blind has that, you're not going to donk bet, right, for $10.
Right.
You're going to let the other lady bet and then raise, right? And then if you're the lady here and you have ace, king of diamonds, you got the nuts right now with the best redraw. So you don't want to scare anybody out right now, right?
Yeah.
And you certainly want us in there, right? Yeah. So that doesn't make any sense. So I'm going to take that off the table. It's very likely... I mean, she could have just ace-king, not the diamonds here, and protecting against the diamonds. That makes sense.
Yeah.
But then we have the flush draw that back us up, so...
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I think our draw is pretty live right now.
Yeah, and I think we're just calling here. I don't see anything else but to call. A raise, I think, is probably asking for trouble, and a fold is... You know, you want to try to keep that other guy in if you can, but so you don't want to raise and scare him out, you know, because if you hit your hand, you know... What would that guy be betting out with, though? You know, what would he be betting out with?
Two pair, maybe.
Yeah. Baby, yeah, the ignorant end of the straight, maybe.
Or maybe he's got a straight draw and wants to set his price. Yeah. And of course, she decided not to. I don't know. Could be a lot of different things, but I think we're live, so.
Yeah, I think we're just gonna call then.
Yeah. And the fact that you got a donk bet and a raise, there's going to be more action here. I'm not too worried about if we hit our hand that the action is an action killer. It may not be as juicy as we want the action to be, but I think we're going to get more out of this hand if we hit our hand.
Yeah, probably.
And that's the risk in just calling, is that, you know, you want to make your money on the come. But I think we're going to get paid off here if we hit this.
Okay.
I'm going to call.
Okay, good.
All right. Frankie says, I've got middle pair, a flush draw, an open-ended straight draw, and an open-ended straight flush draw. This is a potential monster, but it's still just a draw. Maybe. With two cards to come, I should just shove here. But the bet by the small blind, the raise from the lady, convinces me that I'm behind at least one made hand, maybe two. If I don't hit one of my draws, I've got nothing. Nothing! Second, I think I added for effect.
He's got jacks.
Yeah. Except for the straight flush draw, none of my other draws are to the nuts. I want to see another card before I commit my stack, so I just call. All right.
That's what we all would have done, so.
Pretty boring right now. One of us needs to break out here.
Yeah.
The turn of...
Oh, wait. He just calls. Does that mean that the small blind called?
He goes straight into the turn, so I'm going to guess he called. Yeah.
Okay.
The turn is the tray of spades. So our board now is queen of diamonds, jack clubs, ten of diamonds, tray of spades. Hard to imagine that helps anyone. And the small blind checks, and the lady shoves for 125. And so it's obviously our action. I go into the tank. While I'm thinking, the small blind says to her, "So, you're not afraid of the straight?" She answers, "No, I'm not."
Yeah, I'm folding. I have one card to come. I only have what right now is second pair. And I know I have a straight flush draw and a flush draw, but the fact that you said that too, you know, also gives me indication that my straight won't be good if I get there, because I think she has it. I think she probably does have ace-king, and have to hit a diamond. I only have one card to come. I'm not getting the odds to do this. I'm going to have to let it go, I think.
Yeah, it'd be different if we knew this other guy was going to stick around, but now that he checked, you know, who knows what he's going to do, right?
Yeah, I'm going to let it go.
Yeah,
that's terrible.
It's tough now, but yeah. It seems the smart thing to do.
Yeah.
All right. Our hero says, I think for a long time, only the eight of diamonds and king of diamonds are nut outs for me. It's possible that I could hit my straight or my flush and still be beat. Lady could have ace king and be protecting her maid nut straight from the flush draw, or she could have ace of diamonds, x of diamonds, and be drawing the nut flush and the nut straight. I very reluctantly fold my big draw. Darn it! Yeah. No disagreement from any of us this entire hand.
Yeah, that's kind of weird.
It's actually really disappointing.
Yeah. What a letdown.
Small blind also mucks, but he shows me his hand before he mucks it. He's got queen of clubs, jack of hearts for a flop two pair. Yeah, one of the hands we put him on, right?
Yeah, that's what you said, yeah.
Later he tells me that he believed the lady spoke and answered his question because she was confident in her hand. If she had sat still like a statue, he would have put her on something like ace queen and would have called. Lady wins the pot and shows nine of clubs, eight of hearts. For the bottom end of the straight.
Wow.
And of course, we never got to see the river card.
Wow. Well, I thought the small blind might have those two cards, not her. Here's the deal. How good was Frank's read on this lady?
That's pre-flop? What I was going to say, right? Obviously, he needs a wider sample size here.
Yeah. She raised pre-flop and a weird raise at that with 8-9. And then were they suited?
Off-suit.
Yeah.
Nine of clubs, eight of hearts.
Yeah, so they were off-suit on top of it. Yeah, wow. Well, it really felt like she had ace-king, though. She played it like she had ace-king.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
And for all intents and purposes, it's the same hand, really. You know, the only difference was that we thought we were, our straight wouldn't be alive, which obviously would have been, but I mean that's a thing of beauty when you make that stupid min raise to five or minish raise to five, right?
Yeah.
Use your tight image and then flop straight and get action all around. That's why you play poker, right?
Wow, she raises because she's got the small end of the straight. We just call, the other guy calls a two pair. Yeah, so I mean it makes sense when you're seeing the cards and everything. But the only thing that doesn't make sense is the pre-flop raising. On her part. But, I mean, not that it doesn't make sense. That's what players do all the time. They'll raise with 8-9 just because they're playing it. But when you find out she's a tight player and then she does that, then you're like, all right, wait a minute, I got to reassess here. She's not a tight player.
Yeah, and a small blind player, it was doing exactly what I thought. He flopped the top two, hoped to set his price there.
Yeah.
The extra 15 was fine with him because now he's drawn to his boat, but he made the same read that we did, that he was way behind here, and once she shoved, there's no reason to call there.
Do you, as that small blind, re-raise after she raises to 25 on the flop?
I don't think so, because we did the same thought process we did here, right? So right. Ace-king didn't make a lot of sense there.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think that's probably why he bet out to begin with. Well, aside from the fact that you don't want to check this wet of a board around, but... You know, I think he got his information. That's on a board like this, she's not going to raise unless she has something strong.
Yeah.
And at that point, ace-king seems to make the most sense. So at that point, now I got the answer I needed. I'm willing to put the extra 15 in to see if I can, you know, pick up my boat.
Yeah.
Or maybe I check and then she checks behind and then I still got another shot. You know, all kinds of things could happen. But once I missed, I'm not going to put another dollar in and then she shoves. And by that time, absolutely. Gone.
I have it on good authority that the river was the eight of diamonds. And Frankie would have taken down a huge pot.
Now, right. I don't think the small blind would have called here, but it would have been interesting had Frankie shoved as well.
Yeah.
Or made the call there. Because now you've got a lot more money in there, right? I guess you'd have to do the odds at that point, whether it's worth trying to hit your boat.
Yeah, I doubt it. It's only six outs. Right? It's six outs?
Yeah, but heads up, it's not worth it. Yeah,
four outs. So, it's not worth it. All right, well, don't forget to send us some hands of the week, guys. We all agreed on this one, so we can't have that anymore.
Yeah, that's really bad.
But thanks for sending it in, Doc. I'm Chris Cosenza.
And I'm Scott Long.
We'll see you at the tables.
Annie Up is a production of AnnieUpMagazine.com and is recorded at WDAE 620 AM in Tampa. Contact us at podcast@AnnieUpMagazine.com or call our hotline at 813-448-1120. If you'd like to advertise, send us an email at advertising@AnnieUpMagazine.com or call 727-331-4335. Some music used in this episode comes courtesy of the PodSafe Music Network.